Chapter 13, A Prayer Ministry. Perhaps the question people most ask me is, how can a person begin a successful prayer ministry and keep it going? One that will enable me to actually see my prayers answered. I have discovered 5 steps to follow that have demonstrated that they will bring the power of God into the lives of those you pray for. Step 1. The key to any successful prayer ministry begins with having a closer walk with Jesus. He is the chief soul winner and longs to help each one of us to share in his mission. For me, that walk with Jesus begins as soon as I open my eyes in the morning, even before I get out of bed. My morning prayer goes something like this. Precious Jesus, thou Lord of glory, I am looking up to the Holy of Holies of the heavenly sanctuary, where you are ministering in behalf of fallen humanity. And I seek from your hand at the beginning of this day a fresh unction of your love and grace. As you are well aware, Lord, my fallen nature is such that if left to myself, I will only produce all kinds of wicked deeds that would lead to my eternal destruction. Therefore, I cry unto thee, Lord, please appropriate to me at this moment the merits of the blood that you shed at Calvary for the remission of sins. I wish for you to mold me, to fashion me, to raise me into a pure and holy atmosphere where the rich currents of your love may flow through my soul and in turn bless those I encounter in this land of your enemy. I pray, precious Redeemer, for thy Holy Spirit to rest upon me and to dwell in me this day and to make me like thyself in character. Thank you for being attentive to my prayers. Amen. After getting up and attending to my early morning needs, such as letting the dog out, etc., I then have my devotions. They usually consist of reading the Bible and some other inspiring material that will lead me to additional conversation in prayer with Jesus. Only then do I present before him my prayer list, which by now has filled up hundreds of pages in record books. Each name on the list has an accompanying description of his or her needs. While it is impossible to mention every person individually each day, I do present a great number by name as the Spirit of God brings them to my attention. But I pray for the great spiritual needs of all my people in the way that I believe that the Apostle Paul prayed for the church members at Ephesus. After breakfast, I converse in prayer with my Heavenly Father, praising His name and giving thanks for the infinite mercies He has showered upon the lives of those I have been praying for. I appreciate and thank God for the fact that I am retired and thus have so much time to carry on my prayer ministry. Step 2. A solid foundation is a must if one expects to erect any edifice that will be able to stand the test of time. The same principle applies to the spiritual realm. To build an unfaltering trust in God and in the power of His Holy Spirit, we must memorize the Word of God. We must fill our minds with scriptures that will encourage, inspire, uplift, and above all, draw one's heart to Him. As we do this, we open the way for the Holy Spirit later to bring them to mind in times of need. The Word of God is a divine avenue of power and life. I am speaking here from experience. Over the past 46 years, I have carried in my coat pocket pieces of paper upon which I have copied verses of Scripture to memorize during my leisure time. During that time, I have committed more than 2,200 verses to memory, immeasurably enriching my spiritual life. I invite you to steep yourself in Scripture. If you do, you will produce prayers that will pay high dividends in souls. Step 3. Compassionate love motivated Christ to come to this rebellious planet and let wicked men nail him to a cross, all so he could obtain eternal life for each one of us. Christ had a love for his children that was boundless. Jesus was a caring person in the fullest sense of the term. He wants you and me to share that same compulsion. We need to pray with the greatest possible intensity and desire that he will endow us with that same motivating force. Step 4. To pray for others, we must absolutely have a living faith. Christ's question, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Luke 18:8, suggests that it may be a rare experience during the last days, but successful prayer for others is impossible without it. As we read the four Gospels, we soon notice that the measure of the miracles that Christ could do for others was in relation to the amount of faith they exercised. For instance, the Bible tells us that two blind men followed Jesus begging for mercy upon themselves. Matthew 9:29-30 declares, "Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you, and their eyes were opened." Matthew 4:23-24 tells us that Jesus went about all Galilee, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy. And he healed them. On the other hand, people with a low level of faith actually robbed themselves of blessings. Matthew 13:58 reminds us that he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So it is with our prayers for others. We must seek and maintain a high level of faith. Step 5. Forgiveness makes the difference. We live in an age where people do not find their prayers answered because they have not first asked God to forgive their own sins. It is my firm practice never to pray for a person unless I raise my heart to God in this way: "Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, please forgive me if I have offended thee in thought, word, or deed. I know, Lord, that your hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither your ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But I realize that our iniquities and sins can separate us from thee, and thy rich blessings." See Isaiah 59:1-2. "I can't afford to be separated from thee even for a moment. So please make everything right between thee and me, I pray." A large number of Christians mentioned in their letters and phone calls that their prayers seemed to be going nowhere. They asked me what I thought the problem was. First, I tried to help by questioning them about their Christian life, but that approach seemed to be a dead end. Finally, I asked the Lord to have the Holy Spirit help me to understand the problem. Before I went to bed that particular night, I opened the Bible for something to meditate on before I fell asleep. When I flipped it open, I saw the Lord's Prayer. I did not stop there, however, but continued reading. "If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 6:14-15. Instantly it occurred to me that the unforgiving attitude of some people could be blocking the way of God's blessings. Since then, I have helped many individuals by asking if they have any difficulty in forgiving the shortcomings of others or the wrongs those individuals may have done them. One woman was puzzled why her prayer seemed so ineffectual. When I brought up this possible attitude, she instantly stated that was her problem. In fact, she said it's a characteristic that runs in our family. I will always remember my granddad saying, if anybody does anything hurtful to you, don't get mad, just wait for the right opportunity and get even with that person. She then admitted that only a miracle of God in her life would enable her to forgive others. About 6 months later, she called again, but this time rejoicing filled her voice as she told how God had given her the capacity to truly forgive others, and now her prayers were producing beautiful results.